When the Yidden came down to Mitzrayim, Hashem gave a special bracha that they should have 6 babies at one time. Mommy, when she had a baby, she did not just get one or twins. She got 6 babies at one time. There were more and more Yidden. The neighborhood grew. Instead of one street, they made 2 streets. After they got 2 streets, there was more and more kinnelach. They made 3 streets and 4 streets and 10 streets and 20 streets. And the Jewish neighborhood got very, very big. Now, Paroi took a ride to see the Jewish neighborhood. At first, he saw, you know, a few kinnelach, and mommies and tatis. I told you, there was only 70 Yidden altogether in the very beginning when they came down to Mitzrayim. Paroi took another ride there later on. All of a sudden, he saw 200 Yidden. He took another ride there. He saw 1,000 Yidden. So many yarmulkes and so many Yidden and so much tzitzis and so many kinnelach playing all over the place. Paroi thinks to himself, wait a minute. I'm the king of Mitzrayim. And my people are the Mitzrim. This is a separate neighborhood of Jews. They don't have the same food. They don't have the same names. They don't have the same clothes. They don't have the same language. It's like a separate people. Inside of my people is a separate people. Now, if there's only a few, I don't mind it. But look how many there are. Maybe there's going to be more Jews than Goyim. And maybe the Jews will say, we don't want Paroi to be the king. And we don't want the Mitzrim to be the bosses of Mitzrayim. Maybe the Jews, they'll want to be the king. And the Jews will want to be in charge of Mitzrayim. And maybe they're going to throw me out of the palace. Maybe they're going to throw the Mitzrim out. Maybe I won't be king anymore. I'll have to go work at the gas station. And maybe some Jew is going to be the king. I don't want that to happen. And he began to worry. Paroi began to worry. What if these Jews become too great? And one night, Paroi was sleeping in his pajamas in his bed, and Paroi had a dream. And in his dream, Paroi sees a big scale. A scale is where you weigh stuff. And there's different kinds of scales. And this kind of scale, on one side is one place to put things, and the other side is another place to put things. And, of course, the two sides are two sides of the scale. So if you put something heavy on this side, the other side goes up. If you put a heavier thing on this side, the other side goes up. And that's the way the scale works. And Paroi is dreaming in pajamas. And all of a sudden, Paroi sees all of his friends, the generals and the officers and the big shots and the big millionaires and the important people of Mitzrayim dressed up in their beautiful uniforms and their beautiful clothes. And they are going on one side of the scale. Many, many people are going on one side of the scale. And all of a sudden, a little Shepsela was going. The little Shepsela was going. And he climbed up on the other side of the scale. One little white Shepsela. And Paroi saw a very strange thing happen. The Shepsela's side of the scale went way down. And the other side of the scale went way up. And Paroi is wondering, wait a minute. So many people with so many uniforms, wearing their silver and gold and fancy schmancy jewelry. If they're on one side of the scale, they have to weigh much more than that little Shepsela who's on the other side of the scale. So why is the Shepsela weighing more than the side with all the people? Why is it going down and the other side is going up? And all of a sudden, Kinalach, Paro sees a big face looking at him with a beard. The face of a Yid, a Halik a Yid. It's looking at Paro, he's sleeping in his pajamas. And it's next to the Shepsala. And Kinalach, Paro felt afraid in the dream. And he woke up from his dream. And Paro didn't like that dream. What does that dream mean? He called his wise men and his people that tell what dreams mean, and his officers, and he told them what the dream is. And they said to Paro, the Shepsele, the nice little Shepsele, this is the Jewish people. They are like a nice little Shepsele. They're so nice. They behave themselves quietly and nicely. But it seems that this little Shepsele that came down to Mitzrayim, the Jewish people, are getting to be more and more and greater, until in the end it seems they're going to outweigh Mitzrayim. They're going to be greater than Mitzrayim. And they're also going to have some kind of a great Jew, like you saw that big face, some kind of a great Jew who's going to be very, very great. And Paro got very upset because he doesn't want anybody to be greater than him. Remember Nimrod? Same thing. When he heard about that star flying across the sky, swallowing up the other stars, he felt himself afraid. He doesn't want anybody to be greater than him. A king wants to be the greatest. After all, he's the king. If somebody is greater, that person could also be a king. And Paro started to get upset. And the next time Paro went for a ride in Mitzrayim, and he went out to see Eretz Goshen, the Jewish neighborhood, there were so many kinalach, and so many yarmulkes, and so many tzitzis, hundreds and hundreds, and even thousands of people. And Paro felt himself upset and afraid, and threatened. Like, who knows if these Jews are going to take over? And Paro made a meeting of his three biggest officers to talk about what to do. And he called the three officers in, and their names were Yisroi, Eoiv, and Bilam. These were the three big officers. Yisroi, Eoiv, and Bilam. You've probably heard their names before. They're three great people. And Paro says, what should we do about all of these Jews? So many Jews. And you know my dream that I told you? It seems that the Jews are getting very great. What should we do about them? I feel like I have to do something to stop them from being great. Yisroi Kinalach. Yisroi said to Paro, you should not have in your mind to start up any trouble, chas v'shalom, to Jews. I'll tell you why. You don't fool around with no Jew. There used to be a king, his name was Nimrod. He tried to start up with the first Jew, his name was Avraham. The more he tried to do against Avraham, the greater Avraham became, and the less Nimrod became. He even threw Avram into an oven, and the oven didn't burn Avram. He stayed alive. And when he came out, more people went on Avram's side than Nimrod. And then the first time, when Nimrod went for a walk, you know what he saw in the garbage cans? He saw his picture and his getchka in the garbage cans, covered with yucky tomatoes and squished bananas all over his nose. And people went and talked about Avram more than Nimrod. So he tried to start up with Avram. In the end, Avram became greater and Nimrod became less. Nimrod wanted to kill Avram. Avram ran away. He went there, it's Canaan. Then Avram came down to Eretz Mitzrayim, and Paroi started to start up with Nimrod. The Paroi that was before this Paroi, the first Paroi. Remember Paroi? The first Paroi? The Paroi that we have now in Mitzrayim and Shmois was not the first Paroi. The first Paroi was Rikayon, who became Pirayon. That was probably the one that started up with Avram Avinu, which was a lot before Moshe Rabbeinu, and a lot before this, what we're going to hear now in Shmois. Seven generations before. Paroi started up with Avram, and when Paroi tried to marry Sarah, what happened? Paroi got smashed. Paroi got beaten up. He got thrown against the walls. He got boo-boos all over his body. And he had to daven to Hashem. And Avram had to daven to Hashem not to let Paroi die. And the same thing with Avimelech and Yitzchak, and the same thing with Lavan and Yaakov, and Esav and Yaakov. All throughout time, people started up with Yidden and they never won. Never once. And the Yidden always got greater. So I suggest to you, Paroi, as your officer, don't start up with a Yid. Be good to the Yidden. They're not going to hurt you. Akinalach, when Yisrael told Paroi this advice, he saw Paroi's face getting red. And he knew that Paroi was very upset with Yisrael, and Paroi did not like what Yisrael said. Yisrael got nervous, and he decided that after the meeting, he's going to run away from Mitzrayim. He's not going to be any more Paroi's officer because he is afraid Paroi will kill him. After the meeting, sure enough, Yisroi ran out. He didn't tell Paroi where he's going. He packed up his suitcase and he started to leave Mitzrayim. Before he left, because he knew that Paroi was not good and Paroi was going to be a troublemaker, he saw Paroi is changing, he's going to be a troublemaker now. He saw that Paroi is against the Jews, and Yisrael knew the Jews are good. So he thought to himself, what do I have to lose? I'm going to take something from Paroi's room. Now, as you remember, Yosef, when he was in Mitzrayim, now Yosef had passed away already, when he was alive, he was the one that saved the food, he saved the people's lives, and when people came down to pay money for the food, he took all of the silver and gold from the whole world. Remember that?
Yes.
Okay. Now, a lot of that silver and gold and a lot of those special things, Paroi took for himself. Because Yosef was only an officer for Paroi, so Paroi took a lot of it for himself. His favorite thing of all the things that he had was a beautiful dark blue stick. It was made out of jewels called sapphire. And it had 10 letters carved into it. And Paroi had that stick in his room because he liked that stick. That was his favorite thing. Now, really that stick belonged to the Jews because it had 10 Hebrew letters on it. Yisrael knew that those were 10 Hebrew letters and that stick really belonged to the Jews. Now, Kinalach, that was a special halakha stick. Do you know who made that stick? Hashem himself. Do you know when Hashem made that stick? The first Erev Shabbos of the world, right before Shabbos, Hashem made that special stick. And Adam had it. Adam had that stick. Later on, Shais, who was also a tzaddik son of Adam, later on we'll learn about Shais, he had that stick. Later on, Noach had that stick, and Noach put it in the Teva. And later on, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov had the stick, Yaakov took that stick and he went over there to Lavan, and when he went over the river, he split the river with that stick. And Yosef had that stick from Yaakov, and then Paro took away that stick from Yosef and he hid it in his room and he played with it. He liked that stick. He didn't know how special that stick was. Now, right before he left Mitzrayim, Yisrael went into Paro's room and he took that stick out of the room and he hid it in his coat and he walked out of Mitzrayim and he went to a land called Midian. And that's where Yisrael lived. When he went to Midian, he bought a house. Yisrael is a rich man, he bought a big house. And he took that stick now for a walk when he was going around the garden. He wanted to see this beautiful garden. He was walking with that stick in his hand. And as he was walking the garden, he stuck it in the ground, in the dirt. And he could not pull it out. He tried to pull the stick out to take it back in his house. He could not pull the stick out. As hard as he tried, he could not get the stick out of the ground. And he didn't stick it in that deeply. Now, he called his neighbors. He called a few of the big strong men in the neighborhood. They all tried to pull it out, and they couldn't pull it out either. Then they said, let's call every man on the street. They got 20 men. They tied a rope around the stick. All 20 men were pulling the stick, pulling the rope. They're strong men. They could not pull the stick out of the ground. It just stuck there. And a strange thing was, people found out that this beautiful stick, which was probably worth millions of dollars, it was made out of special blue jewels. They said, in the middle of the night, we'll climb in Yisrael's yard and we'll steal it. If a robber came in the middle of the night into the yard to try to steal that stick, as soon as he touched it, all of a sudden the stick was like a big vacuum cleaner. And it started to suck the robber inside of the stick, and it swallowed him up until only his feet were sticking out. And a minute later, his feet also got schlepped into the stick, and he disappeared inside of the stick. It swallowed him up like a vacuum cleaner. So nobody could steal it, nobody could push it, nobody could pull it, nobody could unstick it, nobody could lift it up, nothing. And it just stayed in Yisrael's yard. Until later on in the parsha, we'll see what happened. You understand or not?
Yes.
Okay. This is what happened to Yisrael. The next officer that met with Paroi was Ioiv. Ioiv, when Paroi said, "What should I do, Ioiv?" Ioiv said, "I don't know. I don't know what you should do. I have to think it over more. I can't tell you what to do." So he didn't say anything good. He didn't say anything bad. And then Paroi asked Bilam. Now who was Bilam? Bilam was the son of Beor. Who was Beor? You can think for yourself, was Beor and Bilam tzaddikim or were they reshoyim? Big reshoyim. Now Bilam, why did Bilam become an officer of Paroi? Because he was the best in his class in a special school. What school did he go to? The magic school of Black Mountain. Now, in Mitzrayim, there was a big, big thing of magic and people that knew magic. And there's different kinds of magic. One kind of magic is a man who has a magic show for kiddies. They have some kind of a fun thing and he makes tricks. And the kiddies laugh and they have a good time. And he takes birdies out of his hat and he makes things out of balloonies. And he does things with strings and he does things with loops and with metal rings. And all of these kinds of magic tricks is the simple kind of magic man. And that's no big deal at all. And the Mitzrayim, all of them knew how to do these tricks. Even little babies knew how to do these tricks. Even before they knew how to speak. Then there's other kinds of magic. Like if you remember Shimon ben Shetach and the 80 witches of Ashkelon. And they knew witches, witch stuff, and they knew magic tricks and all kinds of things. And then there is black magic of the highest kind, and the trickiest tricks, and all kinds of things they could do. And in Mitzrayim, the Black Mountains, there was the magic school of Black Mountain, and only the best magicians and the biggest witches could go over there to that school. And who was the best in the whole school, who did the most things with magic? His name was Bilam. He was a big Rasha and a big magician. And he was the best in his class. And he won a trip to go and meet Paroi. And they introduced him and they blew the trumpets. Beep, 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 beep. This is the best magic man in the whole magic school. His name is Bilam. And Bilam came and met Paroi. And Paroi said, "You will be my officer. I want a good magician to be my officer." And so Bilam became an officer of Paroi. Paroi asked Bilam what to do. And Bilam said, "You have to get rid of those Jews. You have to get rid of them." Now look at the chutzpah. The Jews saved Paroi and Mitzrayim. Yosef was a Jew. He saved Paroi and all of his people. And now Paroi is turning against the Jews. This is what Paroi was. This is how schlecht he was. Bilam said, "You cannot just go and kill all the Jews, because all the Mitzrayim will get mad, because after all, the Jews did save Mitzrayim. You have to do it in a tricky way. You have to do it in a way that the Mitzrayim are not going to get upset. Why are you killing the Jews? You have to kill them in a tricky way." So Paroi said, "So what can we do?" And Bilam said, "I've got a good plan to get rid of the Jews, and no one will know that you're getting rid of the Jews with a sneaky plan. It's so tricky." Okay, this is it. Do you remember when Yehuda and Hushim were screaming at Yosef? Do you remember that? The whole ground was shaking and they knocked down two cities, Pisaim and Ramses. They knocked down the two buildings. They were screaming their heads off so loud. And they made the ground shake like an earthquake. Well, let's make the Jews rebuild those cities. After all, who's going to complain if we say the Jews knocked it down? The Jews have to build it up. Nobody's going to say it's not fair. They'll say it's fair. You, Paroi, will make the Jews to be slaves. You'll make them to be slaves. You'll make them work from morning till night. They'll have to work so hard. And of course, if you're going to make them work hard, and you're not going to let them eat enough, and they won't sleep enough, and they won't go home to their families, then they are going to drop down and die one by one until there'll be no Jews left. And the people will say, "Look, the Jews worked so hard building up the cities, Nebuch. What can you do? They knocked it down, they had to build it up. They built it up, they dropped down because it was too hard for them. Okay." And Paroi jumped up and down. "That's a wonderful idea." And the next day, Paroi went and announced to the Jews, "We're having a party in Pisaim and Ramses, a building party. All Jews are invited to come." Oh, well, Paroi himself is making some kind of a party. He invites us, so we have to go. Okay, Paroi said, "Watch this. I'm going to make a brick. I'm going to take mud. I'm going to take straw. I'm going to make it look like a box. And then I'm going to put it in the oven, a special oven that burns bricks, and make it hard and dry." And Paroi did this. And then he took out and he showed everybody, "See the brick I made?" And he put it down on the ground. "This is going to be the beginning of the building. Now, let's see who could make a brick like me." Paroi makes a brick. Everybody else made a brick. And Paro clapped his hands. Very good. Very, very good. Okay. Now, for every brick that you make, you get $1. Okay. Let's have fun. And the party begins. And everybody was making bricks the whole day. And Paro was going around saying, oh, that's good. That's good. Make a lot of bricks. And they were playing music, and they were playing. The band was playing like a party, like a big building party. And at the end of the day, Paro sent his officers to count how many bricks were made. They counted up all the bricks. And Paro says, today you made 1,000,000 bricks. Very good. Okay. Everyone's tired. Go home to sleep. But come back tomorrow. Tomorrow we're having another party. And everybody gets again $1 for a brick. The Yidden said, you know, one day is enough for this kind of party. And keep your dollar, Paro, because we're just very tired. Maybe tomorrow we won't have a party. Paro said, no. Paro commands that tomorrow is another party. Tomorrow they came, and it was very hard to make the bricks. But they had to do it. The next day, Paro said, okay, the third party day is going to be the next day. But no dollars. And each day, Paro said, you have to make bricks. And you have to make just as many as the day before. And if you don't make as many as the day before, you're going to get punished for it. And this is how it started, slavery. It started like a big party with fun, and it ended up very, very bitter. And the Yidden had become slaves to Paro. Now, let's say, at the end of the day, they counted up the bricks, and there was missing a brick. They would take a child, and instead of a brick, they would put the child in the wall, and they would cement the child into the wall instead of the brick. If two bricks were missing, they took two kiddies. This is the kind of thing the Mitzrim did. And then they did such a thing called Avodas Perech. Not Avodas Peretz, but Avodas Perech. What is Avodas Perech? Work for no reason. The worst kind of work in the world is work for no reason. What is work for no reason? They built a building and it was on a muddy ground. The ground was not strong enough. Now, in order to build a building, you have to make sure the ground is strong enough to hold up the building. Before they build a building, they do all kinds of tests and all kinds of smart things to the ground to make sure the ground is going to be strong enough to hold the building. Those Mitzrim did not do such tests, and they knew the ground would not be strong enough. They made the Yidden build a gigantic building, working so hard, of course. A few days later, the building started to fall over until it fell and broke again into 1,000,000 pieces. And the Mitzrim made them build it again. Again on the ground that didn't hold up the building. So they're building for nothing, do you understand? This is torture. To do work for nothing is torture. This is called Avodas Perech. There is a story about a king. He was going in the field, and he saw a man working very, very hard in the field. He had one of those curved knives called a scythe or a sickle. And the man is cutting down the wheat in the field. The sun is burning down. It's schwitzy hot, and the man is working so hard. And the king goes over to the man and he says to the man, Mr. Man, working in the field, how much money do you make a day working so hard? And the man said, I make $10 a day. And the king says, how many hours do you work in the field? He says, I work 10 hours a day in the field and I make $10. The king says, I'll tell you what. Tomorrow morning, you come to my palace I will give you a beautiful, nice, comfortable room in the palace. You will do the same work, and I will pay you $30 a day. I'll give you triple the money.